Hey, morning. I'm in the radio fishing. I'm getting, it's not really early. It's not really late. 7:30 in the morning. Rainy, drizzly, cold. What is it about?
Cool.
What is it? Yeah, cool. It's not even cold out. I don't even have a jacket on.
Neither do I.
Cut off t-shirt on. No sleeves. And neither one of us got a jacket. So it's not cold. It's nice out. What is it about a morning like this where you've got to stand outside?
The cleansing of it, I guess.
Is that what it is?
The smell.
Yeah, I just...
To me, it's the smell. I mean, a nice soft rain on hot asphalt has just got a really cool smell to it.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that.
It kind of reminds me of the desert, to be honest with you, because, I mean, the desert, after, right as monsoon comes in, there's nothing cooler than the smell of the desert.
Yeah. I just was thinking about... even before that, you know, I understand the rain and get all this, and it just kind of takes everything away a little bit. But this morning about 6 o'clock, I mean, that wind was howling
big time.
3 o'clock this morning, it was cranking. I mean, yeah. That wind had to be.
You were up at 3 o'clock this morning too.
Yeah,
nice.
3 o'clock this morning, I got up at about 3:15, and that wind was howling. And
almost exactly when I got up.
Yeah. I got up and went out, put on a pot of coffee and, you know, did the morning routines and came out and went out on the deck and let one out and stood there. And I just actually went off the front deck, went out, or back deck, went out in the front and just stood there. And kind of the wind and the little kind of foreboding doom of it all, you know a storm's coming, you know you're getting hit, you know it's going to rain. It's not raining yet, but it just feels like, I don't know, almost like you're getting ready for battle.
Maybe it's just the same as the fish do with the barometric pressure.
Maybe that's it.
Very well could be.
Maybe.
I mean, there's definitely something about it when you got that little front coming or a rain coming. It definitely changes the atmosphere.
Kind of invigorating, but it just, I don't know. I think the closest thing to me is standing there waiting for the storm to hit is, I don't know, anticipation or energizing, but it's like, okay, come on, bring it, you know.
Are you Lieutenant Dan?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I can't think of any, I don't know. Maybe it's a different emotion, and I'm just mistaking it for, you know,
no,
battle lust.
Nice.
It is.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But anyway, it's a rainy, kind of impressive day down here in Florida. There's nothing wrong, except the wind's blowing pretty darn hard.
Yeah. Been blowing really bad up in Tampa. They canceled for the shrimp this morning.
Yeah, it's drizzly out. Not wonderful, but you know, compared to what the rest of the nation is going through, they're either in drought and heat or covered in snow or thunderstorms or
yeah,
whatever. I mean,
all of it.
Yeah, a little Southwest Florida has been kind of the only.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very lucky. Glad I decided to move here.
Yeah. I'm very happy to live here, boys and girls. So what's the fishing been like, considering all the screwy weather? I'm going to be making a bunch of calls today, finding out what guys were doing yesterday. But
every day seems to have gotten better, basically, since Saturday. That cold snap kind of jump-started stuff.
Well, up on the Peace River, what's been going on up there?
That's been still pretty quiet. I mean, there's been a few oddball redfish, a few oddball snook.
What about the tarpon coming back and forth? They seem to be coming down to the bridges in the evening to feed.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they're coming down. They might just be there and just not doing anything until the evening.
You know,
they've been acting really strange, you know, hearing mixed reports of them. Few guys are seeing them, few guys are hooking them in that late afternoon, early evening time. And most of them are juveniles. Most of them are in that little 10 to 20 pound range, which is still a blast.
Perfect size.
Absolutely, for most people.
Quarter ounce rattle trap, and well, not for you, but for us
normal
folks. For us normal folks that, you know, I don't work that hard anymore. I mean, you're I don't mind doing battle with a storm, but, you know, the whole idea behind fighting that tarpon for an hour, you know, I mean, you love it. For me, I can drink coffee and watch you do it. I'm all good with that. I could sit in the back of the boat and go, yeah, Robert, pump that rod, buddy.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of tarpon stories coming in and out. And
I think over these next probably 3 weeks, you're going to hear a lot more activity going on. I mean, actually, Josh and I talked about it the other day. It's kind of what we wrote about this week was the springtime and things starting to change. Because starting to see some of the trees are starting to bud out a little bit. Some of the bird activity, just the changing of the weather, the water quality, the clarity of the water, you know, all of it's starting to make that, it's starting to slowly do that little transition thing. You know, I was even talking to Mom last night, her allergies are really bothering her because the pollen's gotten really bad in the last week out there in Phoenix.
Yeah, but Arizona was freezing cold, and then it got warm. Now it's cold again now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty chilly this morning. But they, you know, they have the same kind of weather pattern we've got going. You know, they've been 80 and then 50.
Right.
80. You know, I mean, they're...
But they had snow and everything at one point, didn't they?
They got a lot of snow in the upper mountains. They didn't get any snow right in the Phoenix area.
Well, to give you an idea of what's going on, 73-degree water temperature in Key West. Naples is 66.7, and St. Petersburg is 66.4. Now, let's see, November, December, January, February. February's the fourth column. Go back over and look at that again. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're about 3 degrees above. Naples is right on the money with where they're supposed to be. St. Petersburg is 2 to 3 degrees above. Average temperature is 64 in St. Pete at this time of year, and right now it's sitting at 66.
That's pretty impressive.
So, to give me an idea of what's going on, so it is a little warmer than usual.
Yeah, definitely.
And even though we've had these cold spells, and what's really kind of tweaking me out is the whole climate change issue, because the first models were all about, oh, it's going to get warmer, it's going to get warmer, it's going to get warmer. And then they changed it to, say, climate change instead of global warming.
Right.
And they said the storms are going to get more severe. Less just general rain and more intense storms. That was one prediction they got right. They haven't got anything else right.
Yeah, nothing else has been right here, but
I'm almost thinking blind squirrel finds an acorn. Because, I mean, there's so many theories out there, you know, about climate change and all this. But, you know, we do see it happening.
Absolutely.
But that was one they got right. Now, all the storms are going to get this, and that's going to happen, this is going to happen. Well, they didn't say where. I mean,
that was just a
Taiwan and the Philippines and all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're getting creamed with massive hurricanes, stronger than anything they've ever seen.
Right.
Thank goodness, you know, we haven't been seeing that in the Atlantic.
No, don't want to see that.
No, I'm very happy with them being really wrong about the Atlantic.
Yes.
So, anyway, but tarpon up by the Peace River, coming around the Port Charlotte Canals, what do we got going on?
Well, the mouths of the Port Charlotte Canals have been doing actually pretty good. Been a few redfish. Mangrove snappers started to pick back up a little bit in the last couple days. Same way as some sand bream, getting spotty reports of some decent sized sand bream. No great numbers, never seems to be, but
I think
at least
people
a little bit more
fish with whole live shrimp.
Yeah.
And even whole dead ones. I think if people fished a little more pieces of shrimp under a float or, you know, that they would start to see a lot more of the sand bream.
Right.
People are so hung up on, you gotta have live shrimp, gotta have live shrimp. This is the only thing that works. And we get people in all the time, they talk to somebody, oh, you gotta have live shrimp, because, you know, that's the only thing that works. Remember that guy who came in, we were out of shrimp.
I was just thinking that exact, I was just going to say.
And this guy comes in, and he's all upset. He buys a bag of frozen, because he's got to go fishing. And he goes out, has the best day, comes back the next day, and telling me all about the best day of fishing he's ever had. He can't believe how many fish he caught and all this other kind of stuff.
His first snook, his largest snook, black drum. I mean,
just all these different fish and how great a day he's having. And he said, give me 2 dozen live shrimp. I said, well, we still don't have any because the weather was stormy. It was bad. And he got all upset because I said, no, wait a minute. You just had the best day you ever had on a bag of, you know, the frozen shrimp, you know, the stuff we bag up. And, you know, because a lot of times the stuff you get from the suppliers, I think they leave it on the loading dock too long. And it gets thawed out. And it's packed so tightly that it doesn't freeze effectively in the middle of it. They right. put too much in a box. They don't freeze it well enough. Whereas ours is all done by hand, one bag at a time. So, right. but... You know, with the best days ever had, and he's upset because
again,
2 days because we didn't have live shrimp. Even though, I mean, well, you guys get the point of this. I mean, it's just I don't get it. If you have the best day you've ever had on the dead shrimp, why would you want or figure you needed live shrimp the next day?
Exactly. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't. You know. I'm amazed, befused, and befuddled. But let's, you know, one place that we don't really talk about too much is that bay across from Port Charlotte Beach. But right now, there's a lot of redfish over there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of redfish. If you go from Port Charlotte Beach, where the pier is, and go straight across the other side where the Ackerman Waterway comes out, and, you know, like if you were going up around back on the O'Hara Waterway and all that, a lot of redfish back over in that bay. If you go in, you got a couple places to fish. You know, there's that little long island with another little one right next to it. And the backside of that island has got a nice little trough on it. There's some fish in there. Then if you go all the way to the left or going, you know, south, and you fish, just start at that point, you'll see it. It's a big kind of cup shape. And start on the left side and just fish right where it starts going in, and then work your way around that circle, and you'll have a pretty good day. I mean, there's some nice fish back there.
It's been a while since I've been back there. I used to love going fishing there and then cutting up that little mosquito ditch canal.
Oh, that used to run up to where the dam used to be before it washed out?
Yeah. And then it used to pop out right there at the curve at the dead end of Midway.
Yeah. What's amazing is how they keep trying to say, no, the water, you can't go here.
Yeah.
And they put dams up, they fill it in, they put this, they put that, and the water just going to go through there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, at one point, they had actually put a concrete dam with steel reinforcement and backfilled it, and it was just gone.
Yeah.
You know, it just... You don't stop water.
No.
You know, you can try and hold it back. You can try and do whatever you want to do, but if it decides to go somewhere, it's going.
If you're
and
not going to build a Hoover Dam, you're not going to stop it. I mean, look at the Grand Canyon, for crying out loud. What makes you think you're going to stop water with a little tiny piece of concrete and steel?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Good luck with that. You better be willing to put some effort into it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But, yeah, that's a really good spot. But even going up into the main canal, that's the Ackerman right there, right?
Right.
Going up in there, and there's been some guys doing real good that are slow trolling the little twitch stick. And rattle traps, and even the Yozuris as they're coming in and out, been hitting some decent sized jacks and a few snook. You know, and then as you get up inside,
are we going to start carrying them again? I don't know if I want to or not.
What's that?
The Yozuri.
We got a few back in, but nothing.
They're such jerks.
Yeah.
You know, we've been boycotting the whole Yozuri thing at least as much as possible. We're going to get in a couple more, I guess. You know, people want them. You got to do what people want. But I'm going to tell you, folks, don't buy a Yozuri lure. Boycott Yozuri. Flat out. Don't even get a Storm, get a Rapala, get a Rattle Trap, get a Bomber, any brand but Yozuri. For one simple reason. Do not tell these big companies it's okay to raise the price $3 to $5 a lure for no reason.
Right.
With no increase in cost, no increase in anything, and they just decided
they were prettier packages.
Yeah, they bumped the package up, made the package look, you know, pretty, and raising the price $3 just because they figure you're going to pay it.
That was at least a 25% increase.
It was 30. Okay. Straight out 30%. Okay. For no reason. They were selling lures, they were making money, and they decided people were dumb enough that they were just going to buy them because there says Yozuri on them.
Right.
Don't fall for it. You know, I hate that we're selling them. I really do. You know, yep. People want them, we got to have them. But I'm asking you right now, don't buy a Yozuri. Don't buy it. It's an immoral practice, and if we say it's okay, they're all going to do it. They're all going to do it. Everybody would be charging $12 and $14 a lure.
At least.
And Yozuri, we were selling them for, you know, $8, $9, $10 a piece. And now you've got to sell them for $12, $14, $15, $16 just because they think they can.
It's working for them. That's the sad part.
And you shouldn't buy them. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Greed should not be supported. Making money is a good thing. Greedy ripping people off is not. And Yozuri's ripping people off. That's right. Just as plain and simple as I can say it. And now, I could be wrong, and if you're listening from Yozuri and you want to tell me that I'm wrong and that you didn't do it out of just corporate greed, I'll be happy to interview you, and I'll be happy to hear your side of the story, and I will change my mind, and I will say, no, you weren't. But so far, it's mismanagement of the company. They lost money because the corporate execs don't know how to invest their money properly, and they needed more money, so they figured they'd take it from you. So anyway, enough about that. That's too much about that.
All right, get off that soapbox.
Yeah.
All the Port Charlotte canals doing pretty good in general for some of your snooks, some of your redfish, your snapper, obviously. A lot of juvenile tarpon starting to pop up over there in Spring Lake. Don't know of anybody that's really getting any, but they have been hooking them, which has been seeing a bunch of them. So that's a good thing. That's always a good sign of the activity coming up soon. You know, right. You start seeing those fish rolling around a lot. You start seeing the black drum drifting along on the surface on a more consistent basis. You know, those are all things that tell you it's getting ready to start happening pretty quickly.
I wonder what's up with them when they do that.
The black drum?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sunbathing?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, I had a guy in the other day. He's like, I saw this fish, I saw two of them behind my house, and they were just kind of lazily swimming on the surface, but they were really, really white. I said, they're black drum. He goes, well, they were this, and he started to go back. I said, they're black drum.
What causes them to go white drum. Like that?
I don't know. And why is it that the majority of the ones that are seen that color stay on that side of the bridge?
Yeah.
So they all stay over on the Punta Gorda side. I've never heard of somebody coming in here and seeing them on this side.
No. You know, for some reason, you see those white black drum that are just crazy. They're big.
They're like a butter yellow.
Yeah, and it's weird. And I've never seen them anywhere else but over there.
Yeah.
Now, I see bass in the golf courses that are orange and yellow and, you know, get all kind of funky things from the amount of fertilizer and the amount of all that stuff that goes into the water. It literally changes the pigmentation of the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it could be because, you know, a lot of people over there pay somebody to do their lawn. Big difference between Punta Gorda and Port Charlotte is in Port Charlotte, a few people pay to have somebody do the lawn. But when you do it yourself, you don't fertilize it. You don't redo it, you don't resod it, you don't water it, okay, when it rains it'll turn green, and you know, you drive by, it's green, it's all weeds and, you know,
right,
bahia and crabgrass, and my yard's nothing but weird mixtures of stuff, but it's green close. Yeah. Enough. But in PGI they pay people to keep that grass nice.
Right.
And that could be the difference.
It could be.
You know, I mean, they could be putting the...
I think that...
Isn't there something like iron or copper or something they spray on the grass to keep it nice and green?
Iron is one of them.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the color of the fish.
Yeah, I don't know, because you would think you would see it a lot more. You're only seeing it in a handful of fish.
But, I mean, you do see that same thing in a golf course.
Yeah, but in the golf course, a lot of times you'll see that in a lot of man-made lakes in general. And it's because of the lack of structure. There's no habitat for them to hide in and to actually get a little bit of that. camouflage look to them.
Okay.
You know, but I know out in Arizona, you catch them, like all the man-made lakes that I used to fish as a kid, every one of the bass were super, super light colored, almost like a yellow or a white. They have a nice black lateral line, but very, very dull pigment to their back, if none at all. But
so you
go
think
up
that
to
could
the
be
main,
a lack of habitat?
Reservoir. Yeah.
Lack of structure because there's nothing to blend to?
Yeah.
They're just trying to blend to the open water?
Get lighter so they actually still kind of camouflage even out in the open.
That could make sense because some of the canals where we see these, the docks are pretty sparse.
Could
and
be.
There's nothing in the canal. They're cleaned and dredged and there's nothing there for them to hide in.
Yeah. I don't know about the black drum though. The black drum I think is just some color morph.
Okay.
Anyway. That would be my best guess.
Anyway, we're way off topic.
Way off topic, yeah.
I don't even know. Should we actually broadcast this crappy show or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're filling it with good information.
Yeah, all right. I don't know. This is one I'm almost thinking about erasing. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Start over.
Yeah, well, I think what we'll do is.
Joys of modern technology.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put this Frank and Robert talk, Frank rants, and then we're going to start again with a new fishing report because this one is just too much.
Okay.
Crazy. So I'm going to call this one over. We're going to post it because, you know, I guess we should. But, you know, people ought to know what kind of whack jobs they're dealing with. You know, you're calm. I'm a nutcase. All right. So anyway.
I'll stroke out before you probably.
Yeah, I know. This is sad. I don't have a lot of pent-up emotion because I tend to rant like a maniac. So we're going to call this one Frank Robert Talks, Frank Rants, and we'll be back with a fishing report, straight-up fishing report, no ranting, in just a few minutes.